Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word this morning. This morning, we will be coming out of Leviticus chapter 7 and chapter 8, verses 36. So Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 36. We will also be coming out of Psalms 4, verses 7 through 10, Proverbs 9, verses 10 through 12, and Mark. We're starting a new chapter in the New Testament. We just finished on Matthew yesterday, so we are starting Mark chapter 1, verses 22. So, Matthew, Mark, we're in Mark. Pretty awesome. We're just moving right along in the Word this morning. So, we will go into Mark chapter again, 1 through verse 22. And then we'll be in Mark chapter 1 again tomorrow. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning thanking you, Lord, for your Word. Asking you, Father God, to increase as we decrease. Lord, let this word permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we get to know you better. And Lord God, we ask you that it be a balm to our hearts in this time and in this season, Lord God. I pray a special prayer, Lord, for the people of Texas who are without power, who are without gas and heat, that you watch over them and bless them, Lord God. Give them shelter. Give them sustenance. Give them everything they need, Lord God, to get through this season. And Father God, as you bless them, watch over them and give them traveling grace as they travel the highways and byways, oh God. And Lord God, I ask you to bless all of those that are in the paths of these awful blizzards that are coming and going, Lord God, for you know for everything, there is a reason and a season. And Lord, we ask you to guide us through, that we will do what we are supposed to do and do better today than we did yesterday. Lord God, I thank you for all things, good, big, and small, that you have done in my life. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the name of Jesus, which sustains me in time of trouble. Father God, I thank you again that you have given me opportunity to do this ministry that you have assigned me, to read your word and teach your word to those that need to hear it, the sick, the shut-in, and those that are just driving and need a word from God. Father God, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory, for you are my God, and I am your humble servant. As I say every day, Lord God, please increase as I decrease. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit who sustains us in times of trouble. Hallelujah. And in times of good, times of bad, times of ugly, our Father God is always with us. Thanking God today for this word, and thanking God for each and every one of you who tune in and listen in. But this word is a great word, and God's word is always true. All we have to do is listen. So let's come with me to Leviticus chapter 7. Get out your Bibles, get out your Bibles. And we are coming from Leviticus chapter 7, coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And like I said, the Daily Bible, which is different from the Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible. So there's two different ones. I am coming out of the Daily Bible, which is a Bible in a year, Daily Bible. So in this, what we are doing, we are going to go through the entire Word from Genesis to Revelation in a year. So January 1st, we started in Genesis chapter 1, and we will end on December the 31st, as they say, God willing, or as we say, God willing, we'll end with Revelation chapter 22. So let's get started. Is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offerings, they shall kill the trespass offering. And the blood he shall sprinkle all around on the altar, and he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests may eat it. It shall be eaten in a holy place, most holy. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it, and the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering, which he has offered. Also, every grain offering that is baked in the oven and all that is prepared in the covered pan or in a pan shall be the priest's offering who offers it. Every grain offering, whether mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to one as much as the other. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving 11 cakes mixed with oil, 11 wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes, he shall offer 11 bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all, on the third day, it shall not be accepted, or shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats it shall bear guilt. There's some things they did not play with at all. And that's one of them. We're going to read that again. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats it shall bear guilt. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it, but the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord while he is unclean, the person shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanliness, an unclean animal, or any abominable unclean thing, and who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally, and the fat of what is torn by wild beasts may be used in any other way, but by no means eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal which men offer, an offering made by fire to the Lord, the person who eats it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. And all I can say is, for all my brothers and sisters out there that like that rare steak, you would be cut off if it was in the days of God, if it was in the days of Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel. You would be cut off, because it says not to eat bloody stuff. So that rare meat, not happening. I can't eat rare meat. I'm just being honest. I very rarely even eat steak that don't eat pork at all. And that's my choice, not anything else. I don't want anybody calling talking about that I'm trying to act like this or that. I just prefer not to eat pork. It's something I gave up to God some years ago, and I kept with it. I started it actually as a Lenten fast, because I was praying about some things. I'm still praying about those things. Until they come to fruition, I'm going to stay on that fast. And they have not come to fruition yet. And even after they come to fruition, I may still stay on the fast, just because it's something that I love. I'm just being honest. I am a pork bacon lover, pork chops fried with gravy on the side, biscuits and fried onions and potatoes. Come on now. That was the meal. That's one of my childhood memories for Sunday dinner, was fried pork chops with fried onions, potatoes, fried potatoes and onions, and gravy, and biscuits with honey on them, or molasses. Oh, my goodness, yum, yum. That was like a brunch dinner we would have like that between dinner and breakfast. That would be like our big lunch after church, and then we would have like a light dinner. But I remember, I love that. I love Sundays. And if we didn't have pork chops, we had fried chicken. I grew up in the South, and I would love it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Love bacon. And when I gave it up, that was the biggest thing, that I cried because I had to give up bacon. But I had to give it up because that's what I promised God, that I would give pork up. And I remember being on a fast recently where I gave up all meat and discovered veggie bacon. Thank you, Jesus. It is so good. Veggie bacon. So for any of you guys that don't eat pork and love bacon, try, I think it's called Morning Glory or Good Morning or something morning, bacon. And it's vegetarian and it's delicious. So if you like crunchy bacon, it's very good. So, and I'm a crunchy bacon kind of girl. So I tell you this, veggie bacon, best thing. If you're giving up meat for Lent, it's good to have. There's so many vegetable-based burgers and bean burgers and all kind of things out there. And so, you know, Lent started on yesterday for those that, you know, and I'm not saying Catholics because I'm not Catholic. I just happen to like Lent. I like that sacrifice of something for God, and I've always done it since I was a little kid. And it started out as a child. We would collect dimes. You would collect a penny, a nickel, a dime, a quarter. Then you would continue with collecting. You would collect for so many weeks dimes, and then so many weeks nickels, so many weeks quarters, until you had a book filled, and then that book would go to charity. So I had been doing that since I was a little kid, is giving up something for Lent. You know, gave up playing with a certain toy, you know, gave up doing watching television, which I didn't do a lot of anyway, but I gave up what I did do. You know, little things, and I learned it as a child, giving up something every year for Lent. That was my time with God, and I learned to look forward to Lent because I gave up something. You know, I gave up chocolate 1 year and couldn't eat chocolate for almost 20 years because the next time I tried to eat it, I had an allergic reaction to it. So understand, when you give up something, you're giving it up for God, and you're giving it up for a purpose and a reason. If you're not doing it for because you're a particular religion, do it just for yourself as a time of consecration between you and God, that, Lord, I'm going to give up this or whatever it is because I need a word. I need to hear from you for whatever the reason may be. And so I am a firm believer in sacrifice for God, of whatever it may be, you know. And there may be other things that you may start off with giving up, and you may give up something else as you go through the season of Lent, which lasts from yesterday, which was Ash Wednesday. Now I'm talking the Catholic calendar, but normally it starts Ash Wednesday and ends on Good Friday. So I just say, think about it. Just give up something for God, because you will feel better about it when you achieve your goal. I was so excited. I achieved my goal when I went on my fast in January. 21 days, gave up all meat, and I did it. I did it. No meat, no sweets, no bread, and I did it. And I was so excited and lost a few pounds in the process. But I didn't do it for weight loss. I did it for loss of some things that I needed to deal with. And I thank God that I was able to deal with those things. There's some more things I got to deal with. So I'm going on another fast. And I thank God for the opportunity to give up some things for Him, to hear from Him, to know that He hears my prayers. Hallelujah. Blessed beyond measure. Into our word. Verse 28 of chapter 7 of the book of Leviticus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be weighed as a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And also the right thigh you shall give to the priest as an eve offering from the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron who offer the blood of the peace offering and that and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part, for the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offering, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by statute forever. This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offerings made by fire to the Lord on the day when Moses presented them to minister to the Lord as priests. The Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecrations, and the sacrifice of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai, on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Chapter 8, Leviticus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. And he girded him with the intricate woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate, and he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban, on his front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Also Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar seven times, anointing the altar and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then Moses brought Aaron's son and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes and put hats on them, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering, and Moses killed it. Then he took the blood and put some on the horns of the altar all around with his finger and purified the altar. And he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. Then he took all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys with their fat. And Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull, its hide, its flesh, its offal, he burned with fire outside the camp, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all around on the altar, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and pieces and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also he took some of its blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the tip thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. So let me read that again. He took some of his blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right foot. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail, all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys, and their fat and their right thigh. And from the basket of the unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake of bread anointed with oil and one wafer and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in Aaron's hand and in his son's hand and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar on the burnt offering. They were consecration offerings for the sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to the Lord. And Moses took the breath and waved it as a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' part of the ram of consecration as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, and on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire, and you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle a meeting for 7 days until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you, as he has done this day, the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle meeting day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord so that you may not die. For so I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things commanded by the hand of Moses. And this is a couple of life examples and questions for this chapter, these two chapters. Life example, Aaron, a fatal compromise. Leviticus 8 and 3. And it says, Aaron, Moses' older brother, right-hand man and spokesman during the time of the Exodus, received a very high divine calling to serve as priest for the liberated nation. Because this enormous task also carried great responsibility, such a man had to live in a manner beyond reproach. Aaron, unfortunately, had a weakness for unwise compromise. At a crucial time, when Moses and his people needed him to stand strong, he gave in to the clamoring of the Israelites and forged a golden calf for them to worship. Though through his failure, he missed out on God's very best for himself and doomed a number of Israelites to a fatal encounter with the Holy God. Aaron's compromise led to the death of 3,000 of his fellow Hebrews, Exodus 32 and 28, which we read. Aaron reminds us that God requires full obedience to his word, no matter how tempting it may feel to compromise. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 35, life lessons. So I have been commanded, even in worship. Moses did only what God had commanded him. God takes the lead we are to follow. God's greatest servants understood this, and so should we if we want to serve him. Whatever we are commanded to do by God, we must do. Whatever is your assignment, whatever your assignment is, you must do your assignment. If your assignment is to read the word of God, read every word. Assignment is to evangelize. Evangelize in the highways and the byways, wherever God sends you. That's where you evangelize. If your job is to just pray, then intercede and pray all the time for someone in need. Every one of us has an assignment. If your assignment is to pastor, then start your church. If it's to apostle, then lead the church. As you start churches, lead them and guide them in the way they should go. God has given each of us a job, and we must do our job. I can't do somebody else's job I'm not called to do. It's like they can't do my job if they're not called to do it. Each have an assignment. Do your assignment to the very best. Hallelujah. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let God be in charge of everything you do, just as Moses did whatever the Lord said. So Aaron and his son did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. And we must do all that God commands by the hands of his prophets, his pastors. And you know when it's genuine. You know when it's of God, because you will be able to accomplish it. It won't be easy, but you'll be able to accomplish it. Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. I love this word. And be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your everlasting doors. And the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. And if you ever sing Handel's Messiah, these verses are in Handel's Messiah. It's something that just does something to your spirit. It's beautiful. Previews. God, I need some more sleep, I think. Proverbs chapter 9, 10 through 12. So please, no, I can laugh at myself when I make a mistake. So Proverbs chapter 9, 10 through 12. Because this sleepy girl this is my day off, and I think I'm actually kind of tired because I've been staying up a little later than normal. And this is what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a highlightable. You need to put that in your prayer arsenal. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One. Come on, y'all. Think that through. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. This is a word. It says, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Psalms 24 and 8. The Lord is not only glorious. He is the greatest in glory, the pinnacle of excellence, the mountaintop of majesty, the summit of splendor. He is overall the eternally blessed God, Romans 9 and 5. Come on, y'all. Who is the King of glory? The Lord God strong. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Come on, y'all. It's a wonderful word. But our word for this morning is this. The voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So please join me in Mark chapter 1 as we read verses 1 through 22. And again, like I said, it's all a good word. Even though in Leviticus we're like, we no longer sacrifice cattle, but understand, this word is still important. The Leviticus word, even though it's law, and yes, Jesus came and gave us grace and took some of this stuff away where you're not having to burn a ram and not having to find unblemished lambs. I speak this all the time as we're in the Old Testament, because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice of his life for our sins, for our heave offerings, for our wave offerings. For every sin we committed, for everything we've done, Jesus took it to the cross. And so we are blessed. But we still need to repent. We still need to confess our sins. Confess, repent, and ask for forgiveness. So we need to do those things. Confess it, repent from it, and ask God to forgive you. So, and then you got to do the same thing. If someone comes to you that confesses and repents, you got to forgive. You got to forgive, because as we forgive, just like we forgive, God forgives us. We got to forgive others their trespasses against us, just as God forgives our trespasses, children of the Most High God. And he's well pleased with his son. We want him to be well pleased with us. And the word of God in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, it says, in the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Ooh, I love this word. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John, clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. Can y'all hear that? John was wanting to make sure everybody knew, I'm not the Messiah. I'm the one that comes before to prepare the way. And understand, he's 6 months older than Jesus. He jumped in his mother's womb when he felt in his mother's womb. Come on now. He was ready to prepare the way as a baby inside his mother's womb. He was ready to jump for joy and do his job. He had an assignment. He was to prepare the way. He was a prophet, and he was in the wilderness. And, you know, most of us today would say, who is that crazy man out there eating bugs and honey? But he was a Nazarite. He had an assignment. And his assignment was to be that voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And that's what he did. And he did it well. And let's continue in our word. And this is what he said. There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We got to repent. Father God, if there's anything that I may have done in word, in deed, in thought, against your divine majesty, against a brother or sister in Christ, Father God, I ask you to please forgive me as I repent. Lord, I need you to guide me and lead me and accept my heart as you forgive me. We got to ask God to forgive us. We got to repent. Repentance is important. We we go into consecration, just as Aaron and his sons had to go into consecration for atonement. They had to atone for what they had done in leading the children astray with the golden calf. We must atone if we have led anyone astray by our actions, by our thoughts, by our words, by our deeds. We have to repent. And then our word says in verse 16, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. No, they didn't say, can you wait until I go home and tell my wife I'm following after you? Can you give me a minute? I need to go get a couple things. I need to go get, you know, a change of clothes and, you know, some toiletries. And, you know, I got to go do something with my hair because, you know, I don't want to be looking shabby walking with you. I need to go get a trim. They didn't do any of those things. They dropped their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Jesus did not play. He taught with authority. Authority. Because understand, he was there at the beginning. He is the Holy One. Come on now. Whew, hallelujah. And then he goes on to say in Mark 1 and 5, our life lesson. He says, and then all the land of Judea went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Confessing our sins reminds us of our guilt and inability to make ourselves right, even as it points us to the grace of God, who alone can give us spiritual life. And wow, that is a word. I told you this morning we had a great word. And what we're going to do is we're going to go all the way into Mark chapter 1, continuing in Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 45. And even though it's a tomorrow word, put on my heart to read it today. And it says this, now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Bam. And what did our psalm word say this morning? When we go in, it goes in and it tells us, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Isn't that the word? But then when we go into Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And what did the spirits call Jesus? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's there. It was in the Old Testament. The Holy One, our Savior, Jesus, who is the Lord mighty in battle. Come on, y'all. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Jesus did not want that spirit anyone who he was, because he had an assignment to fulfill. This is what it continues. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. They knew him. Again, remember, the demons are fallen angels. Many of them are fallen angels. And, of course, they know who the Holy One is. They all came from the same place, but some decided to step out and do wrong. And the ones that did the real wrong are cast out in the blackness right now. These little minions, they knew and they know who Jesus is. That's why when you're under attack, you better learn how to call on the name of Jesus. You better call it loud and hard. Jesus! Because I tell you, it will flee. It will flee. The enemy does not want us to call the name. But we got to know the name. We got to say the name. We got to speak the name. We got to know the name. And the name is Jesus. What did they say? "I know who you are. The Holy One of God. I know who you are." And understand, this is what he said, that he healed them. Many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus prayed. Why do we think we don't need to pray when our Savior prayed? And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with a compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. And some life lessons from this word today. It says, with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Jesus closely connected his teaching with his miracles. The miracles were designed to point to the validity of both his teachings and his personal claims. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus does not need a testimony of evil spirits to corroborate his identity or to vouch for his holy character. We might be impressed with such supernatural witnesses, but Jesus dismissed them. Mark 1 and 35, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, there prayed. Jesus never got too busy to pray. If he had to get up a long time before sunrise to pray, that's what he did. He valued his time alone with his Father and pursued it his whole life. And that is our word this morning. On tomorrow, we will be in Leviticus chapter, Leviticus chapter 9 and 10. We'll be in Psalms chapter 25, 1 through 7, Proverbs 9, 13 to 18. So we'll be doing Leviticus tomorrow, actually. We'll be in Leviticus chapter 9, 12, verse 8. So tomorrow will be an Old Testament word. And then on Sunday will be our New Testament word. So tomorrow will be all Old Testament, Leviticus, Psalms, and Proverbs. That's why I went on and read our New Testament word this morning to finish out Mark. And we'll be in Mark chapter 2 on Sunday, as well as, I believe, Mark chapter 3. And we will also, time does not permit, on tomorrow, we may have a psalm or a proverb on Sunday. But tomorrow will be our Old Testament word. We will be in the book of Leviticus, chapter 9 through chapter 12, verse 8. So thank you all so very much for joining me this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. If there's anyone that would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone. And if not, we will go to a word of Sister Carolyn. I will check back in with you shortly after our word from our sister in Christ. And a word from our sister in Christ from Carolyn's gift this morning is simply this. That is, if I can get it up. Good morning. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Have a thankful Thursday, family. And again, we have come through this word, and all through it, we know that it's important, you know, to thank God, to repent, to know that even God was well pleased with his Son. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We want God to be pleased with us. We want him to be pleased with us because we do what he told us to do. We repent. We ask forgiveness. And we give forgiveness. And we are thankful that we are grateful and that we are blessed to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's all I have this morning, family. I thank you for joining me. I ask God to continue to watch over each and every one of you as we move forward and together through the Word of God. Share our number, 213-943-3597, with those that you know are shut in or those that just need a word from the Lord. Please share the number, and we're going to watch God work in this ministry. I thank you all. Be blessed and have a wonderful day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And as we say every day, as I pray over you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, stay warm, and have a wonderful, blessed day, for we are thankful. I thank you, Father God, for giving me another day to do over. And I pray that today is better than yesterday. Have a blessed day, family. And join me tomorrow, God willing, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward through the Word of God. And as we say every day, it is a wrap. Have a blessed day, family.